yourself living up in the mountains, you got a breeze that comes up the mountains and from the lowlands. It gets pretty breezy up there on the hill, and if the wind's blowing just for a figure, we'll say 10 miles an hour down here, it may be blowing 15 or better up on the mountain. And then the gust, up to 25, 30, or whatnot, that can carry a little old ember a long way. I was talking to Patrick. He lives up there at Penrose, right there at Brevard. And there was ashes all over his car, from the fires. So, and they're not that close to him. I mean, he's kind of over on the other side of the hill. But he's down there at DuPont State Park, and that's a long ways for the ashes to flow. And if you keep an ember hot and get it across a certain area, and it lands, and the wind's still blowing, and it lands in some dry leaves or whatnot, it's liable as not to catch it on fire. I think they call that leapfrogging or something like that. The way the ember is blowing around and causing those other fires, but. That Table Rock Reservoir up there is a big, wide area.
One thing about it, my grandfather back in this before the war, 1940 was the entire fire time and up there on Sassafras at the time. Back in the very primitive days, they didn't have all this drops of water, and they had telephone lines that went up the mountain to all the various fire towers and places like that. Did you had fires like this back in those days? These fires would have probably still, like it was then, would have probably still be going on right now, real hot and heavy, with nothing to drop water with. And all the communications they had going from those towers from one another was telephones with right of ways cleaned out for the telephone lines. They would have burned up as well. I just hate to think what back in those days, if they had had a fire like this up there, what it would have been like. These fires now are small to what they would have been like back in those days.
If you think back, just for grins and giggles, you think about 200 years ago or more. The country's over 200 years old now, so think back 200 years or 250 years ago. They didn't have any communications. They didn't have telephone lines in. In fact, a fire started. They just tried to outrun it, get out of the way of it, just let it burn, burn itself out unless a good thunderstorm or a good soaking rain came by and put it out. That was the only way they had to do it.
Tearing up those old fire tires and that house that was Tireman's fire, they had old wire telephones up there. And when the season was off and there wasn't no fires, it was his job to keep those telephone right-of-ways cleaned off. Well, this day and time, those wires would have burned up, and you wouldn't have the drops of water from the aircraft either, and it would just make today's totals look like nothing.
Anyway, Andy, it'd been terrible. But, we got pretty decent communications going now, and that helps. And we've got helicopters and airplanes that can drop water on them. One good thing that I did read, that they have not dropped any chemicals on that fire, so you don't have to worry about the water in the watershed up there at Table Rock. It has not been contaminated with chemicals to put out a fire. They've just been dropping water. And, you know, there's a lot of places they go in and they don't drop water, they drop chemicals. And, so, you know, they're trying to keep us safe as well as everything else.
Poor
hell's the
guy. Firefighting, I can say back prior to World War II to now, there's lots of differences. And the differences in communications, that's what all those fire tires are for. Now, a lot of us now use for repeaters, or they do too, like in this up there on Glassy Mountain. They got that Forrester repeater on it up there, and Matthew Littleton, who's now got the 147000 machine, is up on that. It is, and they had all these fire tires up around on various in those days, and they all by wire telephone, and all that would have burned up in those days. For sure, as you say about dropping the water now, that can be done, it couldn't be done now. It's just like a different day and time. I sat here and thought about that, hearing them talk up there. My goodness, you compared that up to my grandfather's day up there in 1940. As you say, there would have been a lot more acreage than even now is. Because they're just like I say, communications would have burned up, the wires would, and you had no aircraft to drop water then neither, and it would just have been one big, bigger mess. But they certainly, it shows them they need to do more control burns.
Andy, but, you know, them guys, anybody that has not been in firefighting in any way, shape, form, or fashion don't know what they're going through. But them men are just wore slap out, you know, the heat drives, just saps your energy and all the strength that you have. And it's not an easy job, and my hat's off to those fellas. When I was in the military, I was in the Navy. Of course, I had to do a lot of firefighting for the military, and we did shipboard fires and aircraft fires and all kinds of stuff that way. But it wasn't a forest fire. but anyway, no doubt that there's a big difference in what your grandfather went through and what's going on today. All the phone lines would have been overhead. They would not have been underground like they are now. And, if a fire come across there, it's going to burn all that stuff up. So then that knocked them out of their communications and everything else. But I'm glad they're slowly getting a hold on to these fires, and hopefully we'll get them all put out. Maybe we'll get some rain in the next couple of days, and that'll help things a whole bunch, too.
To watch tomorrow night and Monday, it's calling for it. We'll just have to see. But if we just get a dab here or there, though, it won't do much. But you're right, we're going to need something to wet these areas down real good. And you're right, I'm listening to some of them up here talking about this. They do work their tails off up here. They may not do it every day, but when they do it, you're right. They're earning their money, especially in this rugged area up in here like that. Like you were saying, saws to even get to the fire. It's something not around even today, but back in his day in 40, there wasn't been no stopping it because what was seen by individuals or by these tires up on the mountaintops that you might say was there prior to the aircraft being blown out to check things out. And the primitive, like telephone that went up to the towers and up the mountainside there. It's very vulnerable.
I agree with you. Things have gone a long ways, and a couple of long ways. And who knows, we may get a little better and learn some things from these fires and do something different to where it won't pull. If it ever happens again, we'll be able to get under control a little quicker. I don't know if that'll happen, but you never can tell. They've got people watching these things and watching the winds and you name it, they're watching everything, getting all kind of data. And so hopefully that'll help us out in the future. At least I hope it does.
Amateurs have to think about such as this, but after what happened with Six Mile Mountain here about a month and a half ago, every amateur group better have it somewhere in the back of their mind, just in case it should get to some of these places, because it's going to be a bit before. Like I said, he was telling me that GMRS repeater will probably be the first thing he'll be able to get back up, working up there again. The others, though, it's going to be a while.
Most of the amateur stuff is either club-owned or individually owned. And, the owners have to foot the bill for that, the feed line, and it's not just the repeaters, but it's the feed line and antennas and the power going up to the repeater sites, and somebody's got to pay for that, and got to, the lines have got to go up there, and all kinds of things. So there's a lot involved, and you're right there. We need to keep that in the back of our minds in case something happens, so we can get our equipment back up and running in a timely fashion, and not leave it to just the people that own it, and that sort of thing. Because if it's individual owned, it may never go back on the air. If it's club owned, that clubs have a little money hid back someplace for a reserve just in case something happens that they can replace the equipment, if they can get the equipment, and that sort of thing. So it's all something to think about.
Jay O'Williams, they brought something to my attention about that at our last meeting out here. I hadn't thought about it, but he did. Depending on how hot the fire is, it may even weaken the tires somewhat. Depending on how hot the fire gets, the tires might be even weakened from it. And as far as those repeaters that Jack had up there, what Scott Hostetler's call sign? N4M, I believe it's K4MDI. He was taking care of those repeaters for Jack 2 or 3 years before he died. What Scott Hostetler's going to do about as far as putting them back, I don't know if he will or not. I can't speak whether he's going to put those or not. I wish I knew that, but I don't know.
Andy, I haven't talked to Scott since all of that happened. I do know that he didn't get all of Jack's repeaters. They went to other people as well. I don't know where all of them went, but I know where a bunch of them went. And I think if Scott can get them back up and working, he'll get them back up and working as quickly as he can.
The ones that's up there on Six Mile Mountain, Scott was in charge of those. If I ever talk to him again, I'm going to ask him what will be the status of them later. Is he going to put them back or not? But I ain't talked to him since that happened, and I really have no answer. But no, I know it wasn't all of them. That was just those there on Six Mile Mountain.
And he was Yes, he was helping Jack maintain more than just the ones on 6 Mile. He was helping him with the one up there at K4RM's place. That's Nancy Mountain. And I think Fred inherited that repeater and tower and all of that stuff that went with it. And then he had one down in Greenwood, and then he had another one up there at Gene's place, and I think Mandel and them got that tower, and I don't know if they got the repeater or not, but Scott was, he didn't do much to that repeater because it didn't get much use. But the ones that were used pretty much all the time, Scott did a lot with, and did a good job taking care of them. And so hopefully he'll get those on 6 Mile back up and running.
What in the GNFHJ? That 70-centimeter that Jack had up there at his place was hardly ever used, and Mandel changed it over to the GMRS frequencies.
That and too.
Barely could ever hear you. It didn't matter. That. They need it more so on the GMRS, because 70-centimeters up there, it was never used, and Gene was going to cut the power to it because it never was being used any on the ham side. So that's fine with me. The only thing is, like I said time or two before, most people ain't in bad locations, and this GMRS business is exploding all over the place. And there's going to come a time sometime in the near future. And from what I've heard others say, there's only 8 frequency pairs on that. Just 8. The input frequency's in the 4, 6 to 7 range. And with only 8 frequency pairs, coordination's going to be coming. It's just a matter of when.
Probably right there, and if it does come, great. If it don't come, well, it won't bother me anyway. But if we don't use our 70 centimeter frequencies, the full, the UHF, the 442s, we're liable to lose them. There's other people that want these frequencies, and if the hams don't use them, we're liable to lose them. And that's the reason I get on 220 and 440 and 2 meters, and get on the other ones as well on my HF rig. But if we don't use them, the FCC will give them somebody else, and then we won't have them.
Hell's the guy. Well, one thing about it over in here, we used the 70 centimeter very, very well over here. Because for the longest time, Mandel didn't have that 195, and the 70 part was from that old group that disintegrated, and here he just gets a halfway operating machine up there on it, and that fire comes across the mountain, and now all that's down, and it'll be at some point in time. But over here, UHF is used quite a bit, and being that a lot of the warning system, too, is on UHF, a lot of that in Oconee County is using UHF. Best I counted it one time, but that's been a while back. There's only 2 meter repeaters on that warning system, just 2 meter repeaters. Most of them are UHF. 70 centimeters, most of them are.
I don't know. I don't know why they don't have more 2 meters on there, because they get better distance out of 2 meters. But the 70 centimeters, they work real good. And the way the Pickens group has got theirs and got them linked together, it works out real well. That way they cover a big area. As long as the linking part works, that really improves everything. But you get into the SC Hearts and stuff like that, that's the same thing. They're using 2 meters. But they're linking the repeaters together and going that way with it. But I don't know. I'm glad that Pickens has got what they've got up and running, and they do a good job of maintaining it. And it works real good most of the time, and when it don't, they've got people that jump right on it and try to repair it as quickly as they possibly can. I'm sure that they'll get down there and get those things on repeaters up on 6 Mile as quickly as they can in a timely fashion. And like I said, it's going to take a little bit of work because it didn't just get the repeater itself. It got the feed lines and the power lines and maybe the antennas, maybe the towers. It don't take a whole lot of heat at the bottom of a tower to weaken a leg of it. And the next thing you know, the wind blows just right and it falls. So we got to be careful. Don't take it too quick and don't try to rush everything. It's going to take a little time regardless.
Everybody in the amateur community, it's not a high priority, but don't completely forget it. Something like that could happen, just like right now. Randall's having an issue up there on Caesar's Head with 442, 400, and 224, 140. The link he has going to the one system on that. And they're offline right now. Currently, as best I know, everything we got right now is strictly on Glassy right now. You know why? It may never happen. Well, it may happen. Another dry spell, who knows? But if a real heavy fire come up Glassy Mountain, it would take everything we currently have over here out. For sure it would this time. And half the county's new. Because the county over here we're in now is a split system now. Half analog, half next and digital. But it would take the Glassy stuff out.
That happened, Andy, and it's a possibility you'll never know. And, we better not say that too loud, because there will be somebody out there listening that mess it up just for spite.
That could happen, but that's not to say that I want it to happen or I'm promoting anybody to do it. I'm making that clear now. I know this is analog and anybody can hear, but I'm just saying it could happen, but I don't want it to happen. I'm just saying here on our side over here, in amateur side right now, we're solely dependent on Glassy Mountain.
We are, Andy, but that's the way it is, and, all we can do is hope for the best and, hope that doesn't happen to Glassy. That happened to 6 Mile, or, I don't know if you listened to the net last night or not, but I don't know if the fire had anything to do with the repeater the way it was last night, but it was terrible. The propagation was just not good at all. It was real scratchy 1 minute, and then clears a bell, and then it go back scratchy again. I don't know if it might have been some other kind of interference or something else, but something was not exactly right. I don't know how the net was tonight. I heard everybody fine. It didn't seem to do what it was doing last night, so I'm glad for that, and I hope nothing happens over at Glassy. I really do.
Disclaimer out. For any dummy that might be listening to me through analog, that's a disclaimer. Don't do it. And just because I'm bringing up don't mean for you to do it. But I'm just saying you can't get too dependent on one site for different things. It could be any group, but any radio group needs to keep that in the back of their mind. And I'll go ahead and let you go here. Just because we're on analog don't mean some fool like these dummies up here on Sassafras, Table Rock, teenagers up here, calls them this. People need to use their brain. KI4D. got.
Anyway, I'm not saying if we need to do that or anything else either. But, yeah, it is good food for thought. Keep it in the back of your mind. And you said it all when you said use your brain, you know. Think before you act. Maybe you've figured something out something bad happens. But Andy, good talking with you tonight. You take care over there, and we'll talk at you a little bit later. Enjoy it there, young man. Don't get to do it enough. 73, KI4LZI, KI4DOS.